Hello, and welcome to New Life Church. Thank you so much for taking time to join us in our virtual service. My name is Justin Dudney, and I'm one of the pastors here at New Life Church. It's my privilege to welcome you to the service today. We have some great news for you. Sunday, November 1st, is going to be our first in-person gathering after 7 months of not being together in this building. We're really excited about that. We want to let you know that registration is going to be available starting this coming Tuesday, October 27th. So make sure that you jump onto our website, newlifecrc.ca, for all the details for that. And while we're really excited about meeting in person, we also want to let you know that we have a high priority for our virtual services. We want to make sure that those of you that cannot meet, can't attend in person, live in different cities, provinces, and even countries can still connect with us. You're very important to us, and we want to make sure that you feel that you belong to New Life Church. We also want to let you know that the best way for you to connect and find out who we are, what we do, is to connect to our website as well as our social media. You can find us on Instagram and on Facebook. We're so thankful that you took time to join us. Let's join together with the worship team and praise the name of God.
Good morning, New Life, and thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship once again this morning. Always blessed by it. My name is George Boer.
My name is Flory Boer.
And we've been attending New Life for 15 years. Years. Figure that one out. And we're going to be hosting your Sunday morning service this morning.
Next Sunday, November 1, we are starting to meet together in the New Life Auditorium. Wow, that's exciting. We can accommodate two groups of 50 persons, each in the auditorium, one group on the east side and one group on the west side. But you are required to register in order to go to church. Please register on our website. Registration will be open from Tuesday to Friday each week for the coming Sunday. Services will begin at our regular time at 10 o'clock. Here are some expectations for coming to church. Follow the current health regulations. Use hand sanitizer. Wear a mask. Keep social distancing. And do not congregate in the building.
Our offering this morning is for New Life missionaries, and we support four missionaries throughout the world. First, we support Fred Victory, who is working with WEC in the Middle East. Then we support Fred Sutherland, who is working with Multiply and Resonate Global Mission right here in Abbotsford. We support Eve Pohl, who started and now directs Hope for Cora in Ethiopia, a ministry that seeks to loosen the yoke of poverty in that community. And lastly, Jonathan and Janice Barnhorn, who live in Nigeria and are involved in Bible translation with Resonate Global Mission and Wycliffe Bible Translators. Now, as you can see on your screen, we have many ways to give. And if you'd like to learn more on how to give, you can check out the link below in the video description. Before I ask you to join me in prayer, recently I was listening to a sermon series, and the last message was based on Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. The last two verses struck me as wonderful words of encouragement from Paul for our folks who are in the mission ministry. In fact, I would suggest that they are wonderful words of encouragement for all of us. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 6, 19 through 20. Pray for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare fearlessly as I should. Join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these brothers and sisters that you have called them to full-time ministry of missions, and then we can support them in their work. Father, whether they are here at home or abroad, we would pray, Lord, that you would use them to fearlessly declare your gospel. Lead and guide them by your Holy Spirit and create opportunities, Father, for them to share the saving grace of Jesus. Continue to bless them in the work that they do, and may they be blessed in doing it. As we are in this difficult season, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would keep them as well as all those who are in the missions ministry. Lord, that you would keep them safe and healthy, and that you would provide the resources they need to continue their ministry. And so, Father, we pray that you would use them not only to provide for those resources through our giving, but to pray for and to encourage and to support each and every one of them. And continue to remind us, Father, that you have called each one of us to be your hands and feet in some way. Give each of us the boldness and the courage to fearlessly practice and proclaim your gospel. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, amen.
Kids, Pastor Sam has put together a video and activity sheet for you. All of these materials can be found in the video description on the website. Every month, New Life Kids start a new series. This month's series is called the Fab Five. They'll get to learn about the five Old Testament prophets in true comic style while discovering what it means to be faithful to the one and only God.
And if you want, you and your kids get more out of the weekly videos. There are some reflection prompts following the lesson that can help your family dig deeper into each lesson. Now would be a good time to pause this video to set up your kids. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Pastor Nathan.
Good morning. It's good to be with you again. Last week, we began a series in which we're examining what it means to live in this digital age with so much computerized technology that surrounds us. And one of the gratifying things, no doubt, throughout this pandemic has been our ability to use digital technology to keep us somehow connected. So for instance, we couldn't have done without digital technology in bringing our worship services to you in order to be able to still remain doing church on Sundays. Another example, I have two daughters, both of them living in the States, and we wouldn't be able to go without Skype. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to see our daughters at all. And so, like a shovel that we pick up simply to dig a hole, or like a car that we simply jump in to go somewhere, we grab our smartphones. But the thing with a smartphone is we do so many things with them. We can connect, we can communicate, we can work with our smartphones, we can use our smartphones for entertainment. So any of us can recognize how deeply we live in this digital age. For those of us who are older, perhaps, it might simply be the realization that we're just not sure what to do with it all. We don't know how to operate it all. For those of us who are younger, well, just try to do without your phone for a day and you'll realize how deeply you're immersed in the digital age. So how does all of this connect with our faith? That's the question that we're asking. And what we're trying to do is not just to come up with rules by which we can manage technology. It's not just a matter of controlling our technology, but to shape the right attitudes, the right values that can influence our use of technology so that we can be faithful disciples of Jesus. And so we're looking at essentially three values throughout this series. We began last week looking at the value of worship and how worship influences us. Last week specifically in terms of the worship service. This week we want to take a look at the value of worship in the context of our daily living. And then we're going to take a look at our value for community. And for the next 2 weeks after that, we'll take a look at the value for serving that we have. Now, you may realize that coincides then with our vision for new life to be an agent for a changed life, which has everything to do with our worship ministries, and with being an agent for a diverse community, which has everything to do with our life group ministries, and to be an agent for a radical impact, which has everything to do with our serving ministries. So with those three values, we want to instill within ourselves a sensitivity and an attitude by which we can take on living in this digital age. So for today, we want to take a look at Romans chapter 12 as we take a look at this and finish up taking a look at the value of worship and how it can influence us so that we know how to handle living in a digital age. In Romans chapter 12, this is the word of the Lord. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the first thing I think that we need to recognize from this passage is that Paul insists that worship is physical. And that's particularly alarming in the context from which Paul is writing. He writes from within a Roman culture where only the mind, things of the mind, had to do with anything spiritual or anything related to faith. All things physical, material things, they just didn't matter for right living. And here in Romans 12, Paul turns that all upside down so that with our physical being, we are to worship God, Paul insists. Since all things physical ultimately have been made by God. and are therefore holy. So to answer the question of the title of this message, is God in your phone? The answer is indeed, yes, He is. Your cell phone is a holy instrument of worship. To make your cell phone a living sacrifice is to be able to use it as a tool for faithful living, to worship the God who saves you. The big danger living in the digital age is that when we fail to sacrifice our phones to serve God, they become our master, especially because they can do so many things. And because we carry our cell phones so close to us, they're always with us, it seems, then that danger is multiplied, that they become our master. We end up serving them. So, for example, we let the screen of our phones shape our identity. Well, we might not notice it, but perhaps even simply by all of the advertisements that inundate us. But even more so by the algorithms that run many of the programs in our phones and track our behavior of what we view, what we're interested in, what kinds of things we do at what time of the day, and all of these kinds of things. And you can easily then be directed by your phone on how to live. Or, in another instance, it becomes your master with the switch from being a consumer of material. You think you are consuming stuff that your phone offers you. But again, because of the way phones operate and digital technology operates, quickly we are the ones who are consumed by our phones and the programs that are in them. So, these are important words for us to hear. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Instead of letting the view on your screen shape your life, it ought to be, Paul is saying, it ought to be the view of God's mercy. And in saying that, Paul is actually referring to the first 11 chapters that precede this verse. The first 11 chapters of Romans depict the entire work of God in producing salvation in our world. These first 11 chapters map out everything that God has done to redeem you and to restore you as a child of God. In view of that mercy, then offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So worship is indeed physical. Worship involves the very physical things, the tools, the instruments that we use to get along in life, especially our digital tools. But here's the second thing. Worship also transforms. I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the ancients, in the context in which Paul was writing, believed that your mind was completely dependable. Material and physical things were not dependable for guiding you through life. But your mind was as if it was automatically would lead you to the truth. And so Paul, after his big surprise of suggesting that worship has to do with your physical being, also suggests that your mind, in fact, isn't necessarily going to take you where you want to go. Your mind needs to be transformed. And here's the thing, worship does that. Worship renews your mind. And this is why worship is the central value for New Life Church in being an agent for a changed life. We see worship as that context in which you can have a life in that is transformed by the renewing of your mind. God does that. Though it's not just Sunday worship even, but now it's your whole life orientation, what guides you through life. You see, because the thing that Paul points out is that our human default condition is conformity, which might be hard for us to admit in an age in which we love nonconformity. We don't like being like everybody else. The problem, of course, is that when we all want to be unlike everybody else, we end up all doing the same thing. I mean, take, for instance, the tattoo culture. It originated because people said, I don't want to be like anybody else. And so they began wearing tattoos. Now it becomes the sign of nonconformity to have tattoos, and everybody is conforming exactly to that. The human default condition is conformity. We conform so easily to the ways of the world. It's just natural. We're influenced by prevailing ideas that surround us, philosophical ideas that infiltrate the way we think of things. We give in to pressures that bend our morals and that reshape our values. And we surrender to whatever is easiest or most convenient or most reasonable, we might even say, assuming that our mind, the way we think of things, is the most dependable guide. And in a digital world that becomes increasingly complex, it makes it very difficult then to know what is right and what is wrong, and what is the right way to do things, and what is the best way to live, and what is the ways in which we can best honor God and follow Jesus. By suggesting that our minds need to be that our lives need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, Paul is talking about the fact that we need wisdom to guide us. Wisdom that comes from the fear of the Lord. The thing is, though, that on our screens dazzle us and amuse us so that to the point where we don't even bother with wisdom. We're too distracted, in fact. We need wisdom. But we also need resilience. Resilience that will keep us on that narrow path. And this is the other thing about the power of digital media. Social media, for example, pressures us and ironically isolates us so that we're too anxious, too tired, too depressed to persevere in faith. We need resilience. Worship. Worship in everyday living focuses us, disciples us, and strengthens us to remain loyal, faithful to God's kingdom. And to stay on that narrow path, wisdom and resilience. Worship feeds us those things as we live our lives on a day-to-day basis. That's not about being anti-tech so much as it is about being anti-foolishness. Screens can amuse us, and as one author some time ago already pointed out, our screens will amuse us to death. Worship gives us life. So worship is physical, and worship transforms us. But worship also helps us to discern. And Paul concludes this little passage here with that. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. See, the thing is, the gospel turns everything upside down. Everything that seems right side up in our world, the gospel turns it upside down. And that's why our minds need to be renewed. He who loses his life for my sake, says Jesus, will gain it. Matthew chapter 10. I delight in weaknesses, says Paul, for when I am weak, then I am strong, he says in 2 Corinthians 12. You see, the gospel turns things upside down, and these are all biblical instructions for following the will of God that seems so counterintuitive to the ways of the world. Worshiping God then leads us into being active for the kingdom of God. An active mind, a mind that is being renewed. An active mind means an active person, and an active person can be a servant of God and a servant in God's kingdom. And the focus on God's kingdom and working and serving in God's kingdom can remain central in our lives. Worship leads us into service. So in renewing your mind, worshiping God strengthens spiritual memory, for instance, instead of relying on digital memory, which isn't entirely reliable. But we need to renew our mind in order to maintain that spiritual memory of what God has done for us. This was the issue in the Old Testament with Israel when they kept on forgetting what God had done for them. And we fall into the same trap when we center our lives around a digital age and rely on its ability to memorize. And our own spiritual memory fades. Or another example is in a screen culture, there is so much choice that it can paralyze you. And we simply stop acting on behalf of God's kingdom. I mean, take for example Amazon. It makes it easy to shop. You just go online and pick what you want. The problem, of course, is that it's so difficult because there's so much choice. And it ends up paralyzing us. It's the irony of living in our age. A social media culture caters to base instincts for acceptability and popularity driven by likes and outrage instead of the exercise of grace and mercy shaped by the worship of our Savior. And so Paul urges us to focus on those things to maintain our discipleship even in the middle of a digital age. Living in this digital world, then, is not just about managing the tools and the instruments of smartphones and tablets and laptops. It's about following hard after Jesus, letting the worship of God in all your life, in every aspect of your life, in every moment of your day, letting the worship of God influence your attitudes and your assumptions about living beyond the demands of the digital world. And I suspect that even though we haven't been able to gather together, or at least I hope that the times in which you've had to been perhaps forced to be alone has afforded you the opportunity to reflect on what is the shape of my life? What do I depend on? Do I just depend on the surroundings of others to prop me up? Or am I focused on being a servant in the kingdom of God? Worship transforms you into that kind of disciple. Worship that is focused on God in every aspect of your life. Well, let's pray together and invite God to renew us, transform us, so that we can be those servants for His sake. Let us pray. Almighty God, Thank you that you are yet the ruler of the universe, and you are ruling over our world. As confusing as it might be sometimes, as complex as it might be, God, you are the creator, you are the redeemer, and you make all things holy. And so, Father, thank you for all of the gifts and all of the blessings that we enjoy. May all of it be gathered up by us in order to worship you. May all of it be used as a living sacrifice, God. May we ourselves be that living sacrifice for the honor and glory of your name, for the proclamation of your kingdom. And so teach us day by day, God. We confess that it's easy to use technology as a crutch in our lives, to make us feel good, or to simply entertain us and amuse us, to avoid the difficulties in life. And so forgive us, God, when we let those instruments, those tools that you've given us, when we let them become the idols in our lives and the things that we end up serving. And we pray, God, that our hearts and our minds and our bodies may be renewed through Jesus Christ, so that we are servants of God, following hard after Jesus. God, awaken us to the identity that we belong to you, and that we are yours. And so we rejoice in your goodness, in your faithfulness, and in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go from this place then and serve God in the midst of all of the technology that surrounds you. Rejoice in God, the God of your salvation, and be a servant of His kingdom as He establishes that kingdom in this world. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face of love towards you and give you His peace. Amen.
Amen. You are my everything. I love that line. And as Christians, that's our pursuit, to have God be our everything. Today in Pastor Nathan's message, he encouraged us to live lives of daily worship that'll transform us to servants of God rather than slaves to technology. So reflect on that for yourself today. Also, don't forget to sign up and register for our in-person gathering starting November 1st. The registration will be open this Tuesday. Make sure to click on newlifecrc.ca and fill that out so you can come and join us in person. We can't wait to see you. Have a great day. Have a great Sunday. God bless you all.